Gentlemen, good morning, Yom Yerushalayim Sameach to everyone. This is an extraordinary day, I believe, for our generation, because we're not celebrating and thanking God for something that happened who knows how many thousands of years ago to our ancestors, but actually this is a situation where it's filmed, it's tangible, people that we know fought, and we know that God, on this particular day, actually gave us a gift that we didn't have, a gift that I believe has so many ramifications to this day. Political, sociological, so many things changed on this day. And I would like today not to focus on the political and ideological transformations and revolutions that happened on this day 50 years ago, but rather focus on halachically, what changed on Kaf Chet Iyar 1967, halachically. Because in my opinion, two things, one thing changed, and another thing didn't. Something in that day changed a halakha that we have been fulfilling for generations. And unfortunately, one thing didn't yet change, and we're hoping it will. So let's start from the beginning. What changed? And I would like this morning for everyone to remember two things. The word sovereignty and the word sanctity. Those are the two things I want you to remember. If you remember that, you know the whole shir by heart. Anyone want to say Kaddish Rabbanan? Okay. Ribonut and Kedusha says sovereignty and sanctity. Let's start from the beginning. Rav Mordechai Fogelman, on the top of your source sheet, was the Rav of Kiryat Motzkin. Kiryat Motzkin is in the north of Israel. He wrote a beautiful responsa called Beit Mordechai, and he writes like this. B'yom Zayin B'sivan Tov Shin Kav Zayin. Anyone can tell me what Zayin B'sivan is?
Yeah, it's Yisru Chag
of Shavuos. In the Holy Land of Israel. After the National Rabbinic Conference in Jerusalem, there was such a thing once upon a time. In other words, all the rabbis got together, apparently. That will not happen in the near future, but I'm hoping it will yet will. So they finished the meeting, and they said, let's now go to the Kotel. Now you have to remember, that sentence was a new thing. For 19 years, they couldn't say, hey, let's go to the Kotel for Mincha. Hey, Chashlomo to the Kotel. Hip and scop and a jump. You throw a rock, you're there. They can go to the Kotel. Misha lo ra'ata simcha yitzel ha-Kotel lo ra'a simcha miyamav. Whoever didn't see the happiness by the Kotel that day, never saw happiness in his life. What is that a quote from? Simchas Beis HaShoeva, very good, Harold. So you understand what joy there was, how every Jew was walking 10 feet tall. Al pa'alathim naharu al kotel. Thousands were streaming towards the kotel. Ufnehem sa michegil. And they were full of happiness. And hitpadalu belahat ubesimcha v'hodu la'adon ha'niflaot. And they were davening with absolute excitement. And they were giving thanks to our Kodesh Baruch Hu. Now comes the punchline that I'd like to focus on today. Amongst those that were celebrating on that Zayin B'Sivan 1967, we are talking about a few days after the war, one day after Shavuos, Hayu Harbe Shekaru Kriya Kedina de Gemara. Anyone want to translate? They did Kriya. They ripped their shirts, as the Gemara says. We'll get to what the Gemara says. Beirotizot, when Rav Fogelman, Rabbi of Kiryat Motzkin, Av Beistin, sees this. Paniti livnei liviati. I looked to my fellow rabbis, the Amarti, and I said, Achshav, now. Acharei anitzachon aloyveinu, after we won our enemies. Vitzareinu shema'atim kamotu bidrei yamei ameinu. Unprecedented. We thought we were going to be thrown into the sea. Mass graves were being dug up in Tel Aviv because they thought there will be thousands, hundreds of thousands of casualties. If we even get out of it alive, and look what happened in 6 days. And after we have, thank God, gotten back, not captured, gotten back our Kotel, our Harabayit, our old city, and the Kroa Od Bibikorein Uetzel HaKotel. There's no room to tear your shirt anywhere anymore when you come to the Kotel. Elo Levarach Birkat Shechiyonu B'Sheimu V'Malchus. You should say Shechiyonu. Amarti Ma'asiti Ma'aseh. I said it and I did it. Well, this is a beautiful way to start our shir. First of all, a live description of someone that lived through the events. Second of all, a rabbi. Third of all, the topic of our shir, halacha. Do you do kriya today, 50 years later, when you come to the koto? Or don't you do kriya when you come to the koto? So in order to answer this question, we have to see what he meant when he said, Hayu harbeshe kar'u kriya kedina digmara. So there's a din in the Gemara. So where would we go to find that din? Gemara. I love the way you all hesitated. The Gemara. Let's go to the Gemara. Next sake. Oh, very good. Thank God. Someone's looking at the source sheet. Baruch Hashem, Moed Katan, Daf Kavav Amud Aleph, 26a. The Gemara starts out in a very nice way. Everybody knows that one of the questions we ask about the Gemara is, did Chazal have a sense of humor? The answer is, they did. There are many jokes in the Gemara. Anyone know the most famous joke in the Gemara? The late Rabbi Saul Lieberman, the one who wrote Tosefta Kipshuta, said, this is the best joke in the Gemara. He said there were many jokes in the Gemara, all jokes. For example, Talmidei Chachamim, Marbim Shalom Ba'olam. Talmudic scholars, great rabbis, they go ahead and arouse peace in the world. You ever see two rabbis talk to each other? You ever see the rabbi talk about another rabbi? That's a good joke. Moed Katan is another joke. What's Moed Katan? Small holiday. Anybody know what the Gemara talks about? Every Tom, Dick, and Harry will tell you, it talks about Hilchos Avelos. So what does that have to do with Moed Katan? How is that a small holiday? It's not a holiday. Now what's Moed Katan? So Rav Yehuda Anasi makes the Gemara. And he talks about Be'emet a Moed Katan. What's a Moed Katan? So we have a big moed, Pesach Shavuot Sukkot, and we have a small moed. What's a small moed?
Chol HaMoed.
Very good. The Gemara starts out with Halachos Chol HaMoed. And it goes on for about three parkim, if I'm not mistaken. And there's a perek that starts with Elu Megalchin V'Moed. There's an Isser on the books to shave and to terkan on Chol HaMoed for various reasons. And since the Gemara is going to talk about shaving and not shaving, hey! We got another place where we don't shave. You know when that is? When you're in Avelos. Since we're talking about Avelos, boom! All the Hilchos Avelos is there. Now, not everything is there, but the majority is in Moed Katan. So in Moed Katan, in this Gemara, it says as follows. You have a question already, Bruce?
No, just that the Baba who shucked it on Purim when he's invited the second time, he says, I think I'll pass. I think he's joking.
I don't know if he was joking. That's actually a very important Gemara. Many Rishonim came at, from that Gemara and said that it wasn't possible the halacha to get tipsy on Purim because of that story.
No,
that wasn't a joke. That was actually meant. That was actually meant on purpose. It's more of a cynical comment than a joke. But Moed Katan, small holiday. We talk about Hilchos Avelos, and the Gemara starts out about the fact that there's differences when you tear your shirt for certain relatives versus your father and your mother. For your father and your mother, you have to tear your shirt on your left side until Megaled Libo, until you see your heart, and you cannot sew it up. Then the Gemara says, the same thing is true when you tear your shirt in the following three categories. Are Yehuda, Mikdash, and Yerushalayim. Three categories. The hills of Judah, we're sitting in them right now. Jerusalem, and the place where the Beis HaMikdash used to stand. And the Gemara goes on to say the following. Amar Rabbi Lazar, Haro'e Arechu Yehuda Bechur Banan, when you see the hills of Judah that are no longer built, but rather destructed. We'll have to define what the word churban means, destructed. Omer, the following pasuk. Yushalayim bechurbanav, you see Jerusalem destructed. Omer, this pasuk, and you tear your shirt. So if you see the hills of Judah destructed, you tear your shirt. Destroyed. If you hear, not destroyed. I didn't say destroyed. I said destructed.
Just broken.
Don't worry. Yeah. Today my English is so far so good. But please feel correct me in my English anytime you want. I didn't say destroyed. I say destructed. Churban. When you see Arei Yehuda in a churban, you tear your shirt. And then you continue your trip. You go into Yerushalayim. You see it in a churban. You tear your shirt. Beit HaMikdash b'churbano. You see Har HaBayit without a Beis HaMikdash. You say this pasuk, the Korea, and you tear your shirt. This is Paskin in the Rambam, Hilchos Ta'anios. This is Paskin in Shulchan Aruch Hoy Chaim Simon Tav Kuf Samech Aleph. This is a halacha in the Gemara. Now you can understand the words of Rav Fogelman that many people came to the Kotel and tore your shirt. However, we got a problem now. To be more precise, we have a beautiful problem. It's what we call in Hebrew Tzarot Shel Ashirim, the problems of the rich. Baruch Hashem, Six Day War. we're now a week out, now we're 50 years later, we come to Ari Yehuda, we come to Yerushalayim, are they still Bechor Banan, or aren't they? So we're going to leave Yerushalayim out for a moment. Let's talk about Ari Yehuda. Let's talk about the places that we captured in the hills of Judah. Okay? Says the Torah, Harorei Ari Yisrael Bechor Banan, you say this and that, Bechorea. He talks about Ari Yisrael in Siman Tov Kuf Samech Aleph, and does not talk about Ari Yehuda. But later he says, in Siman Shin Mem, that's the beginning of Hilchos Avelos in Yoredeya, he says, Harorei Ari Yehuda Bechor Banan Korea. So one place he says Ari Yisrael, meaning all of Israel, and the other place he says Ari Yehuda. The Bach is quick to point out, and this is basically the halacha according to the majority of poskim. Gam kol poskim katfu din ze ba'Ari Yehuda dafka, v'chen katav Rabbeinu ba'atzmo b'yoredeya, v'im kein Ari Yisrael d'makarach alav dafka. Says the Bach, the fact that he wrote Ari Yisrael, all of Israel, don't take it to heart, he really reads Ari Yehuda. How did the Bach get off by saying that? Let's go back to what Rav Fogelman said, Dina de Gemara. The Gemara never talked about the rest of Israel. Talked about Ari Yehuda, Yerushalayim, and Mikdash. Therefore, it was simple to the Bach that he didn't mean what he wrote. He wrote it, but he didn't mean it in Tavkuf Samech Aleph. Look at Shin Mem, explains Tavkuf Samech Aleph. Why is Ari Yehuda different from the rest of Israel? There's a footnote on the page with three different suggestions. One of the Levush, the other of the, I thought, the Gemara in Sanhedrin says, and one of the Bach himself. Why is Ari Yehuda different? Suffice it for our shir, you came to Ari Yehuda, they are destructed, Chorbanan, you tear your shirt. Says the Bach. Upashut! Simple. What's Pashut mean? Simple, meaning there's no other way to understand it. Dahaya Reyuda Bechor Banan Tekamar. When I say the word destructed, Hainu Afilu Im Yesham Yeshuv. Even if Jews live in Beit Lechem, in Beit Lechem, in what we call today Gush Etzion, in Hebron, all the Nachal of Yehuda. All the hills surrounding Yerushalayim, even if Jews live there, kol shiyada umot sholetet alav bechor banan mikre. How do we define destructed? Not destroyed. Jews are living there. There's houses. What's the word chorban mean? According to the Bach, I'm sorry. Kol shiyad ha'um beis hamikdash. I didn't see beis hamikdash. Yeah.
It's not under.
Kol shiyad ha'umot sholetet alav. As long as it's not under Jewish control, but under non-Jewish control, it's called Chorban. And he brings the real raya, and indeed the Mogen Avraham repeats it. Afal pishel shvin b'hen Yisrael, even if Jews live there. Kivan shalmot moshnim alav mikre Chorban. What is Chorban for Ari Yehuda? For the sake of tearing your shirt, if Jews, not if Jews live there or not, but rather, if Jews control it, what we call sovereignty, Magen Avraham, Bach, take it down to the 20th century, Rav Moshe Feinstein. Now, Rav Moshe Feinstein's writing, you have to understand, he's writing, and it's Mamish Halacha L'maisa. This is 20th century, this is post-Six-Day War. I didn't check before the shir if this tshuva was written after the Six-Day War, but it makes no difference. The halacha is the same before and after, says Rav Moshe Feinstein.
So does this mean that Jews control all the territory?
No. That particular area. One second. The Igros Moshe says, Mistaber, Sha'av Sha'adayin Loni Galnu V'Avonoteinu HaRabim, even though we're not fully redeemed because of our sins, and Likro'a B'Riyat Yerushalayim, you do not tear your shirt when you see Yerushalayim. You see, he went from Ari Yehuda to Yerushalayim. Me'achar, what? Shehi Bechetet Hashem Yitbarach B'Dunya L'Tiferet. Now look at those words. Whoever wants to say, Moshe Feinstein, he was anti-Israel, he said, with the help of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's built. It's built! Baruch Hashem, but number two, more importantly, it's not in the hands of non-Jews, it's in the hands of Jews. So maybe I won't say Halal on Yom HaAtzmaut, and maybe this government is not what I hope for, and I would like to see everyone in the government with a kippah davening in a minyan every day, but it's in the hands of Jews. It's not in the hands of non-Jews, and says Rav Moshe Feinstein, v'tzarich levarech rak b'rotom makom ha-mikdash, you only tear your shirt when you see the mikdash, we'll get to that. Rabat shurin v'rei Yehuda she'em b'reshut ha-umot. Moshe Feinstein repeating the Bach and Magen Avraham says, When do you tear your shirt when you see the hills of Judah?
No.
Not in Jewish control. So, gentlemen, according to these sources, on this day, 50 years ago, 1967, we made a halacha in the Gemara irrelevant. Bezrat Hashem forever. What halacha is irrelevant? Tearing your shirt over, seeing the destructed sites of Ara Yehuda. Halachically, that day, there was nothing built yet. There was no Efrat. There was no Kfar Etzion. There was no Hebron. No Jews were living there as of yet. But the fact that it went back to Jewish hands, that halacha became irrelevant.
Isn't that exactly the argument against people who say this is not Jewish sovereignty? It's not Torah sovereignty or biblical sovereignty?
Of course it's a very good argument. For this sake of tearing your shirt, even those that are not Zionists, not closet Zionists, refuse to say Hallel, whatever it might be, we'll have to agree that when it comes to halacha, halacha is halacha! And halacha is, when it's in Jewish hands, even though it's not amazingly Jewish hands, you don't like the government, you didn't vote for the government, if it's in Jewish sovereignty, you don't tear your shirt.
So I want you
to understand that 50 years ago on this day, halachically, regardless of your political standpoint, you no longer tear your shirt when you see the sites that are in Jewish hands. An amazing, amazing occurrence. If you don't recognize once... Hold on! Gentlemen, 1 second, gentlemen. I'll get to all your questions, I promise you. I would love to hear all your questions, but I want to say again that on this particular day, regardless of your point of view politically, when you see Ara Yehuda and Rav Moshe Feinstein went to Yerushalayim, and this is what I've seen, the halacha of Gdolei Yisrael from all sides of the political stream, once it's in Jewish hands, you don't tear your shirt. An amazing occurrence, halachically. You mamish are going to read a Gemara in Moed Katan, you're going to say, this is no longer relevant today. Baruch Hashem, Shehechiyanu, Hatova Hametiv, Kadosh Baruch Hu, with his great chesed, allowed the security forces of the state of Israel to take it back to Jewish hands, and therefore this halacha doesn't apply. You can keep your shirt on. Literally, you can keep your shirt on. Yes, let's go in order. Anyone questions, we'll go around. Bruce.
Clarification of Jewish hands. When we came back from Persia, they were kind of in charge. Romans were in charge.
No, that we were in charge.
What does it mean, Jewish?
During the time of the Hashmonaim, we were in charge. Not in the times that we came back for the second base of Mikdash.
With the permission of the Persians.
I don't think so.
Is it Jewish hands or not Jewish hands?
Pardon?
Was it under Jew? I mean,
I don't. If I remember my history lessons correctly, no.
But it was not.
No.
Well, some say if Trump says you can't build and then we
look,
don't,
quite frankly, Jewish hands no. Jewish hands mean sovereignty. The fact that you have political considerations that say build or don't build doesn't change the fact that it's under Jewish control. Point positive, who controls the area in the sense of who do you pay taxes to?
But no one recognizes our sovereignty.
I don't care who recognizes it. That's not the point
our
here.
Our government acknowledges the fact.
Bruce, you're thinking politically and not halachically. Politically, Trump tells us what to do. The world tells us what to do. The UN tells us what to do. We're so sensitive. You could be sensitive. Do you think a Jewish hands means that we can do what we want? Jewish hands means it's in Jewish sovereignty. That's all the Poskim talked about. They didn't say, it has to be Jewish sovereignty and the Jews can do what they please when they want.
Who did you pay for?
So now you have a good Shaila. Unfortunately, Beit Lechem, part of it at least, is not in Jewish sovereignty today. Do you tear your shirt when you see Beit Lechem? That would be a Shaila. Shechem, that would be a Shaila.
Hebron
is in Jewish hands, part of it at least. What happens when part of the city is not, said Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, you tear on the other part. Correct. But, quite frankly, the majority of these places that we go to, namely we frequent, we drive to Yerushalayim through Ara Yehuda. We're living in Ara Yehuda. If we weren't here for 30 days and we came back, we wouldn't tear our shirt, even though for centuries they did, because it wasn't in Jewish control. And now it is. The fact that Jewish control means we're sensitive to the world doesn't take away from the fact that it's in Jewish control. I'm in control. I have my house. I'm also sensitive to my kids' needs. No, that means you're not in control. What do you mean you're not in control? I'm in control and I decided to be sensitive to my kids' needs. So I'm in control and I decided to be sensitive to President Trump. What's the matter with that?
But if you're not allowed to build a room in your house without permission from the government, that it openly says
that what?
We are not going to give you permission. Because the world says
in London, you go to
Bruce, you just proved my point. You just proved my point.
How do I do?
You need to build an extension on your house. Who do you go to?
I go to a government that wants to wait to see what.
So who's in control? You or the government?
Well, not our government.
Who's in control? Your government, which is a Jewish government, is in control. The fact that they don't let you, sorry, but they're in control.
But there are other people to build, and so they're not in control.
People don't recognize the legitimacy of the government from a halachic perspective, not political.
Yes.
Don't take garbage service and don't believe in the police and don't serve in the army. Whatever it is,
I have never seen those people. I have never seen anything from the Naturei Karta that says that you tear your shirt when you walk through Mei Yesharim, simply because they know the halacha, and the halacha doesn't change even because of your political standpoint. It's in Jewish hands. Again, it's in Jewish hands. They agree it's in Jewish hands. They just think that it's terrible Jewish hands. It's not the right Jewish hands. We shouldn't have it in Jewish hands. Tough nugs, it is. What are you going to do? I didn't pick my landlord. He's the landlord. The landlord is Jewish. This halacha on this day changed. It's an amazing, amazing thing. We take a halacha for generations, and we took it out. Now, Rav Fogelman's story was talking about the kolta. We're going to get to that in a moment. I'm not talking about that yet. Now we're going to talk about it. But when you were walking towards the kotel in the areas of Yerushalayim, like Mamilla that was in the hands of the Jordanians, you no longer ripped your shirt. Imagine. This is the Gemara, Rambam, Shulchan. Finished. Finished. Bezrat Hashem forever. Finished. Finished. Now we have to get to the main issue. They came to the Kotel and they see Har Habayit. Now, I'm not going to talk about Jerusalem today because Jerusalem is in between Are Yehuda and Har Habayit. That's a whole controversy in and of itself, yet by the end of the year you'll understand where that stands and why is it a bit more complex. But let's not talk about Jerusalem. Are Yehuda we've taken care of. It's in Jewish hands. Let's go to Har Habayit. Do you have a question?
That's just to say a pass test for Jewish hands is very simply, you see an IDF jeep parked there and you say to yourself, I'm not surprised it's here. It's in Jewish hands.
Good point. Very good point. Har Habayit! So Mota Gur says those famous words, Har Habayit Biyadeinu. We all know that whatever way you slice it, it's partially in our hands. They gave it back. Moshe Dayan gave it to the Waq. We can't daven up there. But it's under Jewish sovereignty. It's under Jewish sovereignty. So do you care your shirt? Rav Goren, who I think everybody knows, is most identified with this day. The famous picture of him blowing the shofar, saying those words, Menachem Tzion Uvnei Yerushalayim, comforted Zion, and has rebuilt Jerusalem. He's the one that was in the force that went into the old city on this day. As you all know, the man was fearless, can care less for anyone. He stood right in the middle of the road. The commander, the Magad, said, take the rabbi and put him to the side. How do you go in the middle of the road? There's snipers. And he told the commander, I'm higher ranked than you. Keep your mouth shut. And right in the middle, he walked with his Sefer Torah, his shofar, he can care less. That's what he said, his words. Rav Goren. He taped himself, and there was a book put out a few years ago. It was an autobiography put out years after his death. Now, how do you write from the grave? A biography, I can understand, but an autobiography for the grave, this one I never heard pulled off. Maybe by a certain Hasidic group that the Rebbe didn't die over there, but other groups, I've never heard such a thing. So, obviously, how was it happened? A guy named Avi Rat took the tapes that he taped himself and wrote it down, word for word. And he wrote that story. Rav Goren comes in. He's most identified in Hatzofeh, the old Jewish newspaper of the religious Zionist party of then, the Maftal, no longer called the Maftal. Yud Gimel Menachem Av, Tavshin Kav Zayin. We're talking about the 13th of Menachem Av. What is a few days before the 13th of Menachem Av? Tisha B'Av. I have heard so many descriptions about Tisha B'Av 1967, about how Jews didn't want to fast, fasted and danced. They just felt it was like inappropriate to do that. And what did he say? En makom b'sha'at simcha ila'id kazod la'arev et ha'tuga v'et ha'evel l'toch ha'simcha. There is no place to take a little avelus and put it into the great joy that Israel is feeling now in 1967. Sheyachad in Birkat Shehechiyanu, when you come and you say Shehechiyanu v'kiyimanu v'hikiyanu l'zman hazeh, you thank God, God kept me alive to see this return to Jewish hands. The Kotel, the Har HaBayit, the Ira Atika, Nikra Kriya, Churban Beis HaMikdash. There's no place to tear your shirt for the fact that there's no Beis HaMikdash. Why? B'miyuchad kasher kriya nigrem d'ayder yeshal to Har HaBayit. When do you tear your shirt? When you see Har HaBayit. Oy, Har HaBayit has no Beis HaMikdash. I have to tear my shirt. That's what the Gemara says. V'raya zo sheba ekev gulat ha-makom v'shichvuro mevi lanu simcha shezachinu lirot et Har HaBayit keshehu biyadeinu. Mimeila en makom likrola. Says Rav Gor in a very nice way. Take what we said at the beginning of this year. There's Jewish sovereignty over Har HaBayit. There's no more place to tear your shirt. When do you tear your shirt in Har HaBayit? The Gemara talked about Arei Yehuda, Yerushalayim, Makom HaMikdash. Says Rav Gor, it's the same svara for all. What defines if you tear or not?
Sovereignty.
Sovereignty. We have sovereignty. Motagor Paskin, Har HaBayit Biyadeinu. There's sovereignty. Moshe Dayan did what he did, but there's still sovereignty. We, in essence, debatable. Control Har HaBayit.
I think it's debatable.
You could say it's debatable. One second. You could say it's debatable because of what the Waqf controls up there. But quite frankly, we do have sovereignty over the place. It's not like it's in the hands of another government. It's in the hands of Jewish government. Says Rav Goren, take the same Gemara from Arei Yehuda Yerushalayim. It's the same thing here. Gentlemen, you can. I don't even want to go into the details because, quite frankly, this point of view is irrelevant, and I'll tell you why. The same Rav Goren, in another place, Meshiv Milcham, look on the left side of the page. Meshiv Milcham is one of his responsum. Chela Gimel, Simon, Shin, Lamed, Dalet, comes along and talks about Kriya, brings the whole thing that we spoke about, and says, Kol ha-diyun nogea ach v'rak l'ret Yerushalayim v'rei Yehuda v'Yisrael, ve'ein lo hashlacha ala v'rei mekom ha-mikdash. When you say Yerushalayim in Jewish hands, you don't tear your shirt. You see Arei Yehuda in Jewish hands, you don't tear your shirt. That's a function of sovereignty. It has nothing to do, says Rav Goren, with Makom HaMikdash, with Har HaBayit. Shevevada chayavim nikro agam bazman hazeh. Because of course you have to tear your shirt when you see Har HaBayit bizman hazeh. Mikivan shebet HaMikdash adayin b'chor bano. Because the Beis HaMikdash is not there. And he goes on to say, V'amru b'talmud ha-yushalmi. This is the first Gemara in Meseches Yoma. Perek Aleph, Halacha Aleph in the Yerushalmi. Kol dor shenol nivna b'yamav, ma'alim alav ki iluhu nichiro. Every time you go through a Tisha B'Av. And there's no Beis HaMikdash, it's as if you destroyed it again. Which is another way of saying we have not yet fixed all we have to fix in order to have back a Beis HaMikdash. It's like it's been destroyed again. Now you can understand why on Tisha B'Av you sit down on the floor and you're in Avel as if you lost your own relative. You can come on along and say, what does it have to do with me? It was my ancestors that sinned. They were the ones that were involved in Gilui Arayel, Shvichus Dabma Avodah Zarah during the first Beis HaMikdash and other sins that Chazal bring. They're the ones that did Sinat Chinam. I'm all right. Answer, no. As long as the Beis HaMikdash is not rebuilt, it's as if you destroyed it. So, when there's no Beis HaMikdash, it's your problem. You tear your shirt. Says Rav Goren, make a very clear distinction between Har HaBayit and Arei Yehuda and Arei Yerushalayim. Har HaBayit, you tear your shirt because there's no Beis HaMikdash. Simple. So anytime you see Har HaBayit, you haven't seen it in 30 days, you tear your shirt. Arei Yehuda, Yerushalayim, function of Jewish sovereignty, no longer relevant after 1967 and Mirza Hashem for many more years. And he goes on to say that with due respect, everything you guys said, that quite frankly, it's not even necessarily in our sovereignty either. And he goes on to say, Shabbatinotenu harabim yizganu b'mo yadenu el Har HaBayit. We gave away in a way Har HaBayit, mekom ha-mikdash v'kodshei ha-kodashim, la-wakf ha-muslimi, ve'en mafshirim le-yehudim shenitaharu kehalakha li-tpalel tacha kipat ha-shamayim b'chelkei Har HaBayit, lachen baror she-yeshava likua gam bizmaninu ha-churban Beis HaMikdash. He goes on to say, if you don't like my first svara, there's no Beis HaMikdash, quite frankly, what you guys said, this is not real sovereignty. The Waqf caused the shots up there. But the main svara of Rav Goren is the first one. No Beis HaMikdash, you do Kriya on Har HaBayit. The Igros Moshe says the same thing, what I quoted earlier. Tzarich v'arech gam biroto makom ha-mikdash, af k'shiro'inoto mirachok, v'kol sheken shebaim lakoto. No Beis HaMikdash, Har HaBayit, you still do Kriya. The Yaskil Avdi. Yaskil Avdi was Rav Ovadia Hadaya. Rav Avadja Hadaya was the Rebbe of Rav Avadja Yosef. Rav Avadja Hadaya wrote in Noam, which was a periodical that came out in Tav Shin Kav Chet. This is a year after the Six-Day War. He says exactly what Rav Goren said at the beginning, before he changed his mind, namely it's a function of Jewish sovereignty, and therefore, since, no, Kol Od Yiv Shala Alot B'Tzirach Chof Shit Al Harabayit, he redefines the word sovereignty. Sovereignty in Arei Yehuda and Yerushalayim, Jewish hands, finished. What's sovereignty in Har Habayit? You can go up there because you have a Parah Aduma and daven there and do what you need to do there. We can't do that today. Why? No Parah Aduma. We can't go up freely. Now, he doesn't talk about the Waqf here, but he says sovereignty with reference to Har Habayit is not just Jewish hands. Sovereignty means you can go up there whenever you feel like it. There's an admission fee, fine, but you can go up. We can't. Today we can go to Har Habayit, Baruch Hashem, but only into certain places because we're in Ol Tmei Metim, and we can't go into the areas where you need a Parah Aduma to become pure. So he redefines the word sovereignty. So as you could see here, either you say sovereignty is different with regard to Har Habayit, or you say Har Habayit is different. No, based on Migdash Yukter, according to the majority of poskim, you tear when you see Har Habayit today. So Baruch Hashem, one thing did change, and that is because we have sovereignty over Arei Yehuda and probably Yerushalayim, we don't tear our shirts on those places, even if there's no Jews living there. Because when Jews lived there and it wasn't under Jewish control, you did tear your shirt. But when it comes to Har Habayit, it's a function of no Beis Hamikdash. Yes, Bruce.
I know in the days of the Hashanayim, which Harvey mentioned, it was sort of a civil war. There was a Jewish Kohen Gadol, but he worked for the Syrians. Under the Roman Herod, we know he's not really Jewish. There's many times when Jews can be in control here, sort of, under Agrippa the king. Yeah, and yet the Romans were the war.
It's not necessarily Jewish control.
His chief of staff was Philo's nephew.
Again, it's not necessarily Jewish control. It's not necessarily Jewish control, exactly.
Right.
Jewish control means Jewish control. Today there's Jewish control. Jewish control means Jewish control.
That's my point. It's much different.
No, but Bruce, I'm saying to you again, if you're in a home, and it's your home, and you decide to be sensitive to the needs of your neighbor downstairs, so you will not jump on the floor and make noise for your neighbor downstairs. Does that mean you're not in control of your house?
That's not. I'm trying to define what sovereignty means halakhically.
Sovereignty halakhically means that you have sovereignty over that piece of land when it's in Jewish hands. If you want to get in there, you need a passport. And who's going to stamp your passport? You want to go to Yerushalayim. You're coming to the airport. I want to go to Yerushalayim. You come to the passport control. Are there Jews there or aren't there? The answer is yes. Your passport stamped at Ben-Gurion Airport allows you to go to Yerushalayim. That's sovereignty. The fact that the sovereign government decides to be sensitive to, and the list is too long in my opinion, but very long, that's okay.
So when King Agrippa was the king under the Romans?
Again, let's not talk historically this morning. Let's talk
but
about
an
today.
Example. We know
but this is a halacha. I'm not going to go into it. This is a halachic shir today.
Right.
Let's talk about the halacha as it applies today. So to sum up, gentlemen, when you say Arei Yehuda and Yerushalayim, you no longer tear your shirt because of this beautiful, wonderful day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us with the help of the security forces of the state of Israel. It's in Jewish sovereignty, you don't tear your shirt on Arei Yehuda, probably Yerushalayim. Har Habayit, according to the majority of poskim, is a function of Beis HaMikdash being there or not, and therefore you do tear your shirt. So there is a Rav Goren from the Tzofeh newspaper, but, quite frankly, in his shoot, in his response, he says, no, Beis HaMikdash, you tear your shirt. Yes.
So what I don't understand is you walk down to the Kotel, and you actually walk, just before you walk in under indoors, you'll notice that Chabad has set up a station there for the tefillin.
Of course.
Okay, fair enough. But from what you're saying, there should be a second station there, a tearing station, but there isn't.
First of all, when you're in the Kotel, it's hard to see Har Habayit. It's above you.
It's
when you walk down from the Jewish quarter or you're walking down the road, that's when you see it. Or if you're in a tayelet for that perspective, and Amor HaNatziv, you see it. That's where you should tear your shirt. You will see it. No, Shar HaShpot, you see it. As you walk up Shar HaShpot, you do see it. You do see Har Habayit, yeah.
Because if you could engineer your way so that you didn't see it... wouldn't have to tear as I walk by past the Lubavitch station.
It's, I don't know any way you can do that, because any way you come to the Kotel, you see it. Again, if you find a way, let me know. But yes, Ashar Shechem, you would see it as well.
The Friday rule is really useful, right?
Okay, the Friday rule I never understood. There's a minhag Yerushalayim not to tear your shirt on Friday. I never understood it. I think it's a little bit of a irbur of a parshiot. Erev Pesach, after Chatzot, is like a yontif. There's an Isra Malacha.
Okay.
Why? Because we brought the Korban Pesach. Now, for some reason or another, there was a minhag Yerushalayim saying that just like you don't tear your shirt on yontif, Erev Pesach, after Chatzot and onwards, you don't tear your shirt on Erev Shabbos. After Chatzot. I never understood how one goes to the other. Because Erev Shabbos, after Chatzot, if a person is sitting Shiva, he continues to sit Shiva. Erev Yontif, any Yontif besides Pesach, he continues sitting Shiva. The fact that it's Chatzot Hayom doesn't change anything. So therefore, I never understood that Minhag Yerushalayim. But I have to admit that in order not to hurt the Jerusalemites, I try not to go to the Kotel if I haven't seen it in 30 days on Erev, Shabbos, or Yontif. I try to get there before Chatzot, not to offend anyone. Okay. Now, what is this based on? Why is Yerushalayim, why is Harabayit different? I'd like to suggest today a very simple reason, you all know it, and that is the famous line, Kitcha l'shaita v'kitcha l'atid lavo, or Kitcha l'shaita v'lo kitcha l'atid lavo, which means as follows. Is there sanctity to the land even after the Jews left it, after the first destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, the sanctity continues, or does it stop? The Gemara goes back and forth. Tosfos and Yevamos, Daf Pei Bet Amud Bet, brings all the Gemaras and says, we can't come to a conclusive point of view. But he comes to the conclusion that Yerushalayim, indeed, the sanctity from the time Shlomo HaMelech sanctified it, continues. And he brings two psukim. One is the fact that, what we read last week, we read in Parshas Bahar, that there's a difference between land going back in the Jubilee year that doesn't have a choma and land that does have a choma, does have a wall around it. And the old Jerusalem has a wall around it. So since it has a wall around it, it has a different status in halacha. Its sanctity continues. Inami, says the Tosfos, Mishum de'ikri nachala. The Gemara, the Pasuk says in Parshat Re'eh, Ki lo bata ela menucha vela nachala. Chazal say, Minucha shilo, nachala, inheritance means Jerusalem, Yerushalayim. And he says, Zot minuchati adeyad, as a pasuk in Tehillim, that continues forever. So this pasuk, that pasuk, whatever it is. What's more famous is not pasukim, but the Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchos Beis HaBechira, Perek Vav, Halacha Tet Zayin, you can all look it up, it's on the page, I'll read it outside. He basically says, Kedushat Yerushalayim, HaMikdash VeYerushalayim, Mipnei HaShchina, VeShchina Ina Betela. What's the sanctity of the land of Israel? Jewish hands. So what did we say earlier in this year? If you have Jewish sovereignty because Jewish hands control it, you don't tear your shirt. What's the sanctity of Har HaBayit on the other hand? Shechina. Never ever ended because HaKadosh Baruch Hu is always around. So you do have sovereignty. You don't have sovereignty. It makes no difference if you have sovereignty. The Kedusha stands. Thus, if you want to go up to Har HaBayit today, there's a protocol you have to follow because there's sanctity there. We paskin basically like the Rambam, that's the Mishnah Berurah's conclusion, and therefore there's sanctity there. I would like to say when it's a function of Jewish hands, and once it's in Jewish hands, the laws of Kriya are no longer relevant. Bezrat Hashem for many years, forever. When it's not a function of Jewish hands, such as the Kedusha of Har HaBayit, then until we have that Beis HaMikdash, you can have Jewish hands all you want. The waqf can be gone, and you'll still do Kriya because there's no Beis HaMikdash. Where do we find the precedent of this in our halacha between it being dependent upon Jews versus dependent upon God? Bottom of the sheet. You all know it. What did you say this Friday night? Baruch Atah Hashem after Kiddush, Mekadesh, HaShabbos. Blessed be you, God, who has sanctified the Shabbos. Who sanctified Shabbos? Kadosh Baruch Hu. Bezrat Hashem, next week, on this day, Yom Yerushalayim is always the same day of the week as Shavuos, you're going to say Kiddush, Baruch Atah Hashem, Mekadesh Yisrael v'Hazmanim. Who sanctifies the Yontifs?
We do.
When we decide when Rosh Chodesh is, by virtue of that, 6 days later is Shavuos. When we decide on Rosh Chodesh Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah, 10 days later is Yom Kippur, 15 days later is Sukkot. Says the Gemara in Psachim Daf Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Bet that that's exactly the reason. That's why we say on Shabbos Mekadesh Shabbos and on Yontif Mekadesh Yisrael Azmanim Tamad Idachu. This is the reason. Shabbos the Kiva VeKaima. Who decided that the seventh day is the day of rest? God. When? Way back when. Ben Bitzluta, whether you're davening, Ben Bikidusha, whether you're saying Kiddush, Mekadesh Shabbos. Yom Atava Yantiv, the Yisrael, the Kaveleh, the Kamavari Yarche, the Kaveleh Shane. They decide when Rosh Chodesh is, and by virtue of that, we decide when the Yantivs are. Rosh Chodesh plus 6 days, Rosh Chodesh plus 15 days. Mekadesh Yisrael Vazmanim. Gemara and Beitza, Dav Yitzayin Amud Aleph repeats it. And the Rambam says it as well, but he says it beautifully. In Sefer HaMitzvot, Mitzvah Kuf Nun Gimel, 153 in the count of the 613. These are the positive commandments. Says the Rambam that who are the ones that mekadesh the yontifs? The Jews in Israel. So when there's a Sanhedrin, says the Rambam, the Jews sanctify. Basically, said the Sanhedrins are representatives. They will sanctify the months, and by virtue of that, they will sanctify the Yomim Tovim. And when there's no Sanhedrin, it's the Jews in Israel. If there's no Jews in Israel, says the Rambam, a beautiful line. Listen to these words. We in Golus, says the Rambam, are all dependent upon Israel. They were the ones that were Mekadesh, the Chodashim. And even if Hillel HaZaken made the calendar, it's all because of the Jews in Israel. Once they do it, it spills over. Now you can understand the whole idea of second day Yontif. It's all dependent on Israel. Not on Chutz La'aretz. It says the Rambam, and I love these words. If we have an assumption, there would be no Jews in Israel. Listen to these words. God forbid, will God ever do this? There will always be Jews in Israel. Then says the Rambam, Lo yeh sham beitin, lo yeh b'chutz la'aretz beitin, shenismach mer Yisrael, harei cheshboneinu zeh lo yeh mu'il klal. Once there's no Jews in Israel, there's no Yantav in Chutz La'aretz. It's all dependent upon Jewish hands in Israel. Beautiful Rambam. But what do we learn? What do we glean from this Rambam? When it's dependent upon Jewish hands, then that's when you have a Yantav. When it's dependent upon God, I don't care if there's Jewish hands. So therefore, Shabbos will continue to be Shabbos. Yantav, if all the Jews will be evacuated from the land of Israel, as the Rambam says, Chalila la kelmi la asotzot, God forbid, will God ever do this? No Yom Tovim. So we can take the same precedent and now stick it into our situation. Are Yehuda and Are Yerushalayim. Jewish hands, Jewish sovereignty. We don't tear our shirts. Harabayit, dependent not on us, but on God. The sanctity has always been there. Until the sanctity is complete, with the Beis HaMikdash being there, God's abode upon earth, we still tear our shirts. Now you can understand why I said at the beginning of Shir, Yerushalayim might be different. Why? How do you define Yerushalayim? Is it like Are Yehuda, just another city in Israel? Or maybe it's a spillover from the Beis HaMikdash. I mean, the Beis HaMikdash is very holy, and then the rest of Yerushalayim is a little less holy. You have to eat certain korbanos in what's called Kodshei Kodashim, as we say in the morning in Ezehu Mekomon, near the Chatzar of the Beis HaMikdash. You have to eat it standing up because you're not allowed to sit in the Beis HaMikdash. And there's other things you can sit, you can eat in all of Yerushalayim, such as Maaser Sheni, Korban Pesach. So, how do you define Yerushalayim? Is it a spillover from Har HaBayit? Maybe you still have to tear your shirt because, hey, Har HaBayit is still sanctified. No Beis HaMikdash, we have to tear our shirt. Or perhaps, no, it's no spillover. It's like Are Yehuda. It's another part of Israel. Holier, yes, but it's a function of Jewish sovereignty. So to make a long story short, gentlemen, today we came up with the following conclusion. When it's dependent upon Jewish hands, sovereignty, you don't tear your shirt, and Baruch Hashem, on this day, that's what happened. What didn't yet happen is Har HaBayit. There's no Beis HaMikdash. There's a sanctity of Har HaBayit that was given. It's dependent upon God, according to the Rambam. God has always been there. God will always be there. And until the Beis HaMikdash completes God's abode on earth, we still have to tear our shirt for Har HaBayit. So I believe that we've come a very long way. Look what we did. We've taken out probably two of the three things we tear our shirts for on this day because of the miracles that happened on this day. We're still not there yet. There's still a Tisha B'Av on the calendar. But Be'ezrat Hashem, with God's help, we hope and pray that that day will come very soon and we'll be able to read this Gemara and be able to say, this is what we used to do. But thank God we don't do it anymore.